We're turning to God's Word this evening to a very familiar text. It's found in Hebrews chapter 9. But as I just said, it's a great privilege to be back again with you this evening. And we are delighted to see so many in the meeting on a Monday night. And we do thank you sincerely for coming. And we pray that you will come back night after night and pray for the mission. Pray that the Lord will come and meet with us as we open up the Word of God and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, God willing, this week I plan to preach on some special subjects. Tomorrow night I want to deal in the will of the Lord with the subject heaven and how to get there. And then on Wednesday night we're going to consider the subject of hell and how to avoid it. And then on Thursday evening in the will of God we want to consider, will the Lord Jesus Christ really come again? And then on Friday night, again in the will of the Lord leading, we want to consider the subject, does the cross really make a difference? Now these are subjects for us all, but especially for the unsaved. And I would encourage you, and I know that you have been inviting people along to the meetings, but I would encourage you to go the second mile. And if you have invited someone then, go to them again. And especially if they've promised you to come, you have a reason to go back again to them if they haven't been to the mission yet. And invite them to come along and bring them and sit with them and pray for them and pray that the Lord will speak to their hearts. And my friend, if you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, you're not born again of the Spirit of God, then these meetings have been planned for you to get you under the sound of the gospel, so that you can hear words whereby you can and must be saved. And our prayer tonight is that you'll come to know the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Redeemer. Now there's just one text of Scripture I want to leave with you tonight, and it's found in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27. And in that text we read these words, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help. As we come to the close of the meeting, let us pray that the Lord will come and fill us afresh with his Holy Spirit and speak to hearts here tonight. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for your presence with us this evening again. And we thank thee, Lord, for your presence with us last night. And O God, we pray as we come to turn to the precious Word of God now that you would be pleased, Lord, to fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit. O God, we're so conscious, Lord. And O God, we're not just saying prayers for the sake of saying prayers, but Lord, we need thee. We need the power of God. We pray therefore that you would hide man behind the cross and that none tonight would be seen save Jesus only. We pray, Lord, that you would write your word upon the sinner's heart and life. We pray tonight, Lord, that you would come by your gracious Holy Spirit and reach down and snatch brands from the burning. We pray, Lord, that you would save precious souls. We pray, Lord, that you would speak very definitely to men and women tonight and to young people who are without Christ, without hope and without God in this world. We pray, Lord, that in this mission the tide will rise, that the devil will be defeated. O God, cover our meeting in the blood. We plead the blood for our covering. We pray this evening, Lord, that you'd be pleased, Lord, to draw sinners to the foot of the cross. Hear our prayer, for it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Many today say that the Bible is a book that is hard to understand. They tell us that the Bible is complicated and difficult to grasp and that it is written in such a way that is beyond man's capability of understanding its meaning. My friend, I will confess that there are many things in the Word of God that are difficult for the human mind to grasp. That is why the Bible says that spiritual things are spiritually discerned. However, having said that, throughout the Scriptures of truth, there are statements made that even the youngest child can fully understand. There are verses and passages of Scripture, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that need very little or no explanation at all. This evening we have one such verse set before us. In Hebrews chapter 9 verse 27 it says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." Now let me ask you a question tonight. What part of that verse do you not understand? What part of that statement is unclear? What word in that text is confusing? This text is written in such a way that is easy to understand. Every one of us, I believe, fully understands what is being said here. Now, some of you may not believe what is written in this text. Some of you may not accept what is written in this portion of Scripture. But I don't believe that anyone listening to me this evening can say that they do not understand what is written here. Because this statement is written in such a way that even the most illiterate person can understand what is being said. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, very simply tonight, I want to draw your attention to this text of Scripture. And especially if you're found here this evening and you're not saved, I want you to listen very carefully, because I believe that the Lord has a very clear message for your heart this evening. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will write that message upon your heart and soul tonight. My friend, if you're found here this evening and you're not born again of the Spirit of God, you know nothing of God's saving grace in your life, then please listen intensely tonight to the preaching of God's precious, precious word. What do we learn here? What do we have here in this text of Scripture? Well, first of all, I want you to notice that in this text of Scripture, very simply, we have a sentence that is believable. Believable in the sense that no one would deny it. Look at the first part of the text. "It is appointed unto men once to die." There we have a sentence that each and every one of us believe this evening, no matter who we are, no matter what we believe, no matter what our background may be. Every one of us, without exception, believes in the reality of death. Even if you have no religious convictions whatsoever tonight, we all accept that death is real and that death someday will take away our life. Therefore, we have a sentence set before us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, that we all believe. We all believe that death is coming for each and every one of us. Death is all around us. Each day, each week, each month of each year, we are faced with death. And we believe, we accept that death is real. But let me take it a step further. When we consider this subject of death, there are three things that we all believe about death. What are they? Well, first of all, we all believe that death is no respecter of persons. In other words, death takes the young as well as the old. Death takes the rich as well as the poor. Death takes the healthy as well as the sick. And also, we all believe that when death comes, our life upon this earth is over. We know that life upon this earth begins at birth, and we know that life upon this earth ends at death. And I believe that if I was to go down and speak to you personally and individually upon this subject of death, you would agree with everything that I have said up until this point. Because, as I have already emphasized, we are all familiar with the reality of death. We know that death is no respecter of persons. We know and believe that when death comes, our life upon this earth is over. And also, we all believe that the day of our death is a mystery. In other words, we don't know the day of our death. We have to say, like Isaac, we know not the day of our death. Therefore, no matter who you are tonight, you believe in the reality of death. Because death is all around us. Therefore, we have a sentence in this text of Scripture that is believable. I don't have to convince you that you're going to die. I don't have to convince you that you're going to grow old and leave this scene of time. Tonight, I don't have to convince you in the reality of death. But I want you to look at the text again, and especially if you're found here and you're not saved, because not only in this text do we have a sentence that is believable, we all believe we're going to die, it's appointed unto men once to die, but I want you to notice that in the text we have a phrase that for many is unbelievable. Look at the text carefully. It says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this..." Look at the phrase, "but after this." This phrase for many is unbelievable. You see, here we see where men differ when it comes to the subject of death. Many do not believe and will not believe that there is life after death. They will not accept that there is existence beyond the grave. Therefore, we have a phrase in this text, and for many it is unbelievable. They cannot come to terms with the fact that there is life beyond the grave. I wonder if I was to go down and ask you this question, "Do you believe in life after death?" What would you say? In regards to death, you say, "Yes, I know and believe I'm going to die." But what do you believe concerning the after this? What do you believe the moment you take your last breath upon this scene of time? Do you believe and accept that there is an after this? You see, as far as the Bible is concerned, there is an after this. As far as God is concerned, there is an after this. As far as the Bible is concerned, death is not the end. And I pray that these words will sink into your heart this evening, because it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 7 we read, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, but the spirit shall return unto God who giveth." And in Matthew 10 verse 28, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And when we turn to the Word of God, the Scriptures of truth clearly teach us that there is life beyond the grave. The truth is that you and I have an immortal soul. An immortal soul that will live forever and forever and forever. And although your body will die and be put into Mother Earth, your soul will live on throughout the countless ages of eternity. Indeed, the Bible tells us that when God created man, from the dust of the ground he breathed into the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul. You see, death is only the key that opens up the door to the great eternity. Men and women, our lives are like a book. In a book there are different chapters. When death comes to us, it is not the end of the story. It is only the end of a chapter, because when death comes, there is an after this. And the question tonight that you need to ask yourself is this: are you prepared for death and eternity? Are you prepared for the after this? Are you ready for death? In other words, are you saved by the grace of God? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? I know that death and eternity, they're subjects that people just don't like to think about. They don't like to talk about them. And yet, when we turn to the Word of God, and when we study the Scriptures of truth, we are brought face to face with these subjects. And my friend, if you're not saved in this meeting tonight, I pray that God the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart and strive with you and show you your need of God's eternal salvation. Because your greatest need tonight is to be saved by the grace of God. Your greatest need tonight is to be born again of the Spirit of God. Because death is not the end. The grave is not final. Because there's an after this. It is appointed unto men once to die. That's the sentence that is believable. I don't have to convince you tonight that you're going to die. I don't have to convince you that the grave is before you. But there's a phrase here for many that is unbelievable. But as far as the Word of God is concerned, and as far as the Scriptures of truth are concerned, the Bible declares that there's life beyond the grave. There's an after this. And that's why it is imperative that you prepare for death and for eternity. Because there is an after this. Now, I want you to take a look at the text again. Because not only do we have here a sentence that is believable, not only do we have here a phrase for many that is unbelievable, but I want you to notice that in this text we have a word that is inconceivable. The word judgment. It says here, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this judgment. You know, if something is inconceivable, it means that it cannot be imagined. And I'll tell you, men and women, the day of judgment is an event which will be so terrible for the sinner that at present you and I cannot even begin to imagine what it is going to be like. Yet it is an event which is going to take place. The Bible says that God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. God's day of judgment is recorded for us in the Bible. Indeed, Dr. Douglas read those words. I want you to turn over just in your Bible to them in Revelation chapter 19 or chapter 20. And could I say, if you haven't got a Bible with you, please just listen very carefully to the reading of God's Word. This portion of Scripture, what a solemn portion of Scripture it is. I wonder, did you ever desire to see into the future? Did you ever desire to roll back the curtain of time and gaze into the space of eternity? Well, you can do that by considering this chapter. Because Revelation chapter 20 tells us of a day that is still to take place. The Apostle John here is brought from time into eternity to an event which is future. The event of God's judgment day. And what a solemn portion of Scripture it is. Revelation chapter 20. Look at verse 11. And I saw the dead, small and great. Or verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And then look at verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. My, what a solemn occasion we have here. My friend, it's a day, future, a day if you're not saved, that you will stand before the judge of all the earth. Sinner, consider the judge that will confront you on that day. The Bible says here that you will stand before God. Indeed, in John 5 verse 22 we read, the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto his Son. And the truth is this, that the one who is able to save you now and redeem you tonight, if you die without Christ as your Savior, someday will be your judge. Consider the evidence that will condemn you, verse 12, because the books were opened. And the dead are judged out of the things that are written in those books. My God will have the evidence before him, and that evidence will condemn you on the day of judgment. And consider the sentence that will befall you, because in verses 14 and 15 it says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Here we have this event that is inconceivable. My, there's no words that I could say tonight that could fully describe what this judgment day is going to be like. I wonder, will you be there on that occasion? Will you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, unprepared, unsaved, in your sin? And will you hear those awful words, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels? I want you to think of these words tonight. What a solemn text of Scripture we have before us. What a solemn portion of Scripture we have in Revelation chapter 20. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You see, the message tonight is clear. The message tonight is simple. My friend, if you're not saved this evening, I want you to listen very carefully. You're going to die. Death is not the end of your existence, because there's an after this. There's a day of judgment, and it is imperative that you are ready and prepared for that day of judgment. And only by accepting God's salvation through Christ can you make that preparation. And thank God, that's the wonderful message of the gospel that we can declare tonight, that the Lord Jesus Christ has died upon the cross. He has shed his precious blood. And on the middle tree in Golgotha's brow, he has laid down his life a ransom for the many. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isn't that a wonderful message? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I wonder, have you ever stopped for a few moments to consider death and eternity? Have you ever stopped for a few moments to consider where you will be 5 minutes after you take your last breath upon this scene of time? Oh, as far as the atheist is concerned, he believes that death is the end. How foolish he is. But what do you believe tonight? Maybe up until this point, you never really give it much thought. Maybe up until this night, you never really thought about death and eternity at all. Maybe there's a young person here tonight, and as far as you're concerned, you have all your life in front of you, and God willing, you will have many years of life before you. But friend, the truth is that we're not to boast ourselves of tomorrow, for we know not what a day may bring forth. And while the old die, the young can die as well. And every week in Ulster, there's young people cut out into eternity. If you were one of those young people tonight, where would your soul be? Where would your soul be in the great eternity? That's why we exhort you tonight to seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. That's why we exhort you to strive to enter in at the straight gate, and come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Saviour. My, the hymn writer penned it well when he wrote those words, only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you. He will save you now. And thank God he will save you if you put your faith and trust in him. It was the Philippian jailer who cried out, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul told him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Are you ready for death? Are you ready for eternity? Are you ready for the judgment that is to come? My friend, if you're not, get ready tonight. Make sure that you're prepared. And make sure that the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord Jesus Christ alone is your eternal Savior. And praise God, when you close your eyes in the pillow this evening, you can close your eyes knowing that if you're not to open them again, that it'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Isn't it great tonight to have that assurance? And I know that there are many here this evening, and you can read your title clear to mansions in the sky. You're not afraid of death, you're not afraid of judgment, because there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And praise God, that's the blessed hope of the child of God. And my friend, that can be your hope tonight. That can be your hope tonight. I can remember before I was saved, I was always afraid of dying. Always afraid of going to bed at night, because I was afraid that I would die throughout the night. But you know, friend, the day I was saved, that fear was taken away. That fear was taken away. Because when the Lord saves you and redeems you by his precious blood, he takes the fear of death and the fear of eternity away. And I can say, like the psalmist, Tonight, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not fear. Praise God, what a wonderful redemption we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, that is what we exhort you to do tonight, to come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. A sentence that is believable. It is appointed unto men once to die. A phrase for many that is unbelievable. After this, there's an after this. A word that is inconceivable. Judgment. After this, the judgment. Oh, my friend, make preparation and come to Christ tonight. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we do thank thee and we do praise thee this evening that the Lord Jesus Christ has died and shed his precious blood upon the cross. And there upon Calvary, he has laid down his life, a ransom for the many. O God, we know that life upon this earth is hastening on for each and every one of us. And we know, Lord, that soon the death angel will come. But, O God, we thank thee for those that are saved. It will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. But, O God, what a tragedy it will be for those who are found without Christ, without hope and without God in this world, lost forever. O God, I pray for those here this evening, unsaved, who are still resisting the strivings of the Holy Spirit in their life. I pray, Lord, that you would draw them lovingly and eternally to the foot of the cross. And, O God, that you would save them this night for time and for all of God's eternity. I wonder, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I wonder, has the Lord spoken to your heart this evening? And you realize you're not saved. My friend, you can be saved tonight. You can be saved tonight. And I pray this evening, as others leave the meeting, that you will come and seek the Lord. I pray tonight, as others leave, that you will wait behind and find eternal salvation. We're going to sing a couple of verses of a little hymn, just with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thy bids me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. The second verse goes like this. Just as I am and waiting not, to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I wonder, is there someone here tonight, and you want to be saved? My friend, you can be saved. And I pray this evening that you will come and trust the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. As we sing these two verses, I'm going to give you an opportunity, even now, to come to Christ. As we sing this hymn, as we sing these few verses, I want you to do something for me. If you want to be saved, I want you to put up your hand. Now, friend, listen, putting up your hand will not save you. The night I was saved in a meeting like this, I put up my hand, but it didn't save me. But I needed help. I needed someone to point me to Christ. And maybe that's you tonight. Maybe deep down in your heart you want to be saved, but you don't know how to be saved. You're not sure. My friend, that's why we're here tonight, to point you to Christ, to lead you to the Lord. And if you put your hand up, I'll acknowledge it, and you can take it down again, and then we'll pray for you at the end of the meeting. But tonight, come to Christ. Let's sing the first two verses of this lovely hymn.
Just as I am without one plea.
Is there someone tonight and the Lord has spoken to you? You realize you're not saved? Just put your hand up now, wherever you're sitting. And I'll acknowledge it, friend, and you can take it down again. Is there someone in the meeting? Just before we close in prayer, you realize you're not right with God. My friend, you can get saved tonight. You can know that you're on your way to heaven tonight. Just put your hand up wherever you're sitting. That's right, just do it now.
Just as I am and waiting not.
Is there someone before we close? You know that the Lord has spoken to you this evening. You know you're not ready for heaven. You're not prepared for eternity. My friend, the Lord can save you this evening. Just put your hand up wherever you're sitting now. That's right, just do it now. Man or woman, boy or girl, young person or old person. My friend, maybe you couldn't get your hand up, but the Lord has spoken to you. We want to give you the opportunity. We want to plead with you, give you the invitation to come to Christ. As you leave, please say to us, stay in your seat, we'll come to you, but we urge upon you to make your peace with God tonight and trust the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Saviour. I'm going to ask Dr. Douglas to close in prayer.
We'll bow together in the Lord's presence. You've heard the invitation. I believe God has been speaking. Speaking tonight. Speaking last night. And you know what you need to do. Take that step tonight. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy word, for Thy presence with us. We praise Thee for the call of God, that Thou art speaking unto men and to women and to young people. Speak on in these meetings. We pray tonight that Thou wilt touch the trembling heart. Lord, speak to that one who may not be far from the kingdom, and give that person the grace and the strength and the courage to take the step that matters and pass from death unto life. Oh, hear prayer tonight. Cover us beneath the shadow of Thy wing, and bring us back again under the sound of Thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.